This is the Politics Podcast from WUNC. I'm Dave DeWitt. By any measure, Robert Reeves has had a meteoric rise in politics. An attorney from Chatham County, Reeves was first appointed to the state house in 2014. He won his first election that same year and rose to deputy minority leader, and finally, his Democratic colleagues unanimously chose him to lead their caucus as House Democratic leader in 2020. In this conversation with WUNC's Jeff Tiberi, Reeves begins by recalling where he was and what he was doing during the January 6th insurrection in Washington.
Well, what I remember is that I was actually in my legislative office. I don't remember what it was that we were doing, but I remember that we were in some type of meeting that kind of had us going all day. And so, you know, I had the phone on Do Not Disturb. We were locked down. I was with my chief of staff, and we just didn't, you know, I just didn't know anything was going on. And so when I got out, I had all these messages. And some of them that were more concerning, you know, because I'm in the legislative office building as opposed to being in the actual legislative building. And so some of them were saying, hey, are you okay? Is everything okay up there? Which made me think we'd had an incident there in Raleigh. And so when I finally was able to get in touch with somebody, they were explaining, no, they've attacked the Capitol. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those things that when you hear it, you can't even process that. But I immediately went to a news feed and, you know, the video to kind of see what was going on. And I just remember just sitting there in shock. I actually talked to one of the security guys that works at the General Assembly. And we were, you know, and he was explaining to me what had been going on all day. And I was just in actual shock. And I just couldn't believe, and I still can't believe that it happened.
January 6th of 2021 was predicated in large part on the big lie. And I'm interested for you, as a Democrat, the conversations that you have with Republican lawmakers, Republican staff members. What's the tone when you have those smaller, more private conversations versus what they are espousing to larger groups, if that makes sense?
Well, I think, if I'm being candid, Jeff, what's interesting, and interesting is a bad word, I guess what's hard to reconcile is I can't tell you anybody that I've talked to that's a member of the Republican Party that has told me that they do believe the big lie, you know, that they do believe there were any problems with the elections or anything of that sort. They may talk generally about issues that, of course, we can tighten up, because it's just like anything else. I mean, it's always something I'm sure you could address, but I never hear anybody say, you know, the election was stolen. You know that, you know, we had these problems. You know that all this happened. And so it's just kind of, in fact, you hear less of that now with Republicans I talked to at the state level, of course, than you did even after Cooper's victory in 2016. And so it's just it's just strange, because it's one of those things where when you continue to see all the information that's out there, you're looking to say, well, where is it coming from? Because I'm not talking to anybody that's talking like this. So where is it that people have gotten this notion from? Why are people thinking this? And it reminds me of how powerful the things that we say as elected leaders, how powerful those things are. And I just wish people would take that more seriously and understand that when you make comments, I'm not worried about how your comment affects Jeff Tiberi. You know, I'm worried about how your comment affects a person that doesn't have a lot of background with politics, doesn't have a lot of knowledge about what's going on with government, who's already got concerns that you could be taken advantage of by making these comments, and what that does to that person, what spark that ignites in them. And that's what we've got to recognize, is that we live this stuff every day. So we know what can and can't happen, what did and didn't happen. But when you speak even jokingly about those kind of issues, that could have a real effect on a person who's kind of out here on his or her last leg as it is.
Democrats enter 2022 in somewhat of a precarious position. At the federal level, key policy goals have stalled out, at least for now. At the state level, still primarily playing defense. We'll see how this redistricting trial plays out, how significantly districts change, if they change at all. And with history as our guide, the midterms could be pretty bad for Democrats.
Yes.
So just, you know, warming you up here, easing you into it. What gives you any optimism for electoral or policy achievements, wins, victories, categorize it however you will, in 2022?
What gives me optimism is a recognition by our side that it's a bottom-up situation. I think what has been problematic over the last couple of years, and especially for Democrats as Democrats began to lose power in the country, was too much dependence on something happened at the federal level and it trickling down to the state level and then trickling down to the local level, and that's how we win elections. What I believe is that we've understood better now, and I know especially with me personally and with the caucus that I deal with, that this is about candidates at the lowest levels of government. And this is about who's running for city council. This is about who's running for school board, who's running for county commissioner, who's running for state rep, state senator, and having those people carry the water. And that means that you've got to get a different kind of candidate. You know, whereas 15 years ago, you might have gotten a candidate who looked good on paper, and not saying that people did, but just as an example, you know, that candidate looks good on paper, candidate's going to be able to carry all the party lines that are coming down from the federal level, and we're good to go. Now, I want true candidates that represent their districts, that represent the people that they're with, and that means that we're going to have a pretty diverse group on our side. You know, I like the fact that we say different things, that we believe different things, because I believe that's how you get great ideas. And so what gives me confidence is that we're going to have better candidates at a lot of these other offices, and that's going to carry upwards in how people are electing people at the larger offices. Because the truth of the matter is this, I'm not going to know if I'm Joe Voter out here. I'm not going to know the president. Probably not going to know my U.S. senator. May have seen her or him a couple of times on the campaign trail. But you know who I do know? I know the local folk that I'm voting for. And because I know them, I have a faith in them that will help me to decide what I will do about some of these other candidates. And that's what I believe we'll do.
So I hear you. But with due respect, everything's been nationalized. And people feel like they know Biden or Trump, feel like they loathe or love Nancy Pelosi or Kevin McCarthy. And there's just been this, from my perspective, please push back, but it feels like there's been this trickle down on everything. And we see it in legislative campaign races where people are trying to tie Robert Reeves to Nancy Pelosi. I'm making that one up. I don't know if it's actually happened, but we've seen legislative candidates in North Carolina tied to the positions of Nancy Pelosi. That's irrelevant. That has nothing to do with what is happening locally. Is there really a way for local candidates to distinguish him or herself? Or is it really about kind of doing this dance about, for Republicans, you know, towing the Trump line, and for Democrats to say, you know, here's where I'm with Biden or Cooper, and here's maybe where I'm my own person?
No, there's definitely a position for us to separate ourselves. What's going to happen is, I mean, you've got to get out there and do it. And I think that's what it really comes down to. We've gotten so used to and so comfortable with the machines on both sides. You know, where the money comes in, we know that we've got to get X percentage of commercials. We've got to get X percentage of digital. We've got to X percentage of mail. And the truth of the matter is the candidates that are really successful in both parties at local levels, and I count state rep and state senator as local levels, are the ones that people actually get out and know. And for whatever reason, that's why you see people who own their own businesses, people who work in community type employment. That's why those people end up being successful. And you'll notice that a lot of times they even go against the trend of what the federal politics are. And so I feel confident that we've got more of those candidates this year than we probably have in my 8 years that we've been there. So So to answer your question, I can see where the skepticism would be. But I've also seen that we've got people who go against the grain, and it's just a matter of getting them out. Now, one of the problems that you run into is what our state legislature has turned into. We're still in the long session, and this is the year we're supposed to start short session. So, I mean, that makes it really hard on people who work for a living to come. And I think that I would love to see, if there's anything I'd love to see change, I'd love to see that change, because I think we're better when we have more people who work, more people who have you know, got lives that require them to be back home at times. So that's my two cents.
So we had an off-off year election just a couple months ago, or off-off year elections in Virginia and in New Jersey. And it was not good for Democrats in New Jersey or in Virginia. Democrats were able to eke out some victories in New Jersey, but most notably lost the governorship in the Commonwealth to our neighboring North. I'm wondering how you think Democrats should best mobilize this year. Because while there is this figure of Trump, and I will ask you about the former president in a couple minutes, he's not on the ballot in 2022. So you can run against him to an extent. But how do you mobilize? How do you make sure that people from your party or independents who might support what you're stumping on in 2022, how do you get those people to the polls this year?
Well, I think, again, that's where it becomes a team effort. I think that, again, the mistake that you make, if anybody, let's say if any candidate thinks that because she is candidate Susan Johnson, he is candidate Robert Reeves, that he's just going to win this election on his own, yeah, then he's got another thing coming. The only reason I'm in office right now is because a team of people throughout my community thought I would be good to be in office. And that's where the mobilization comes. Again, working from the bottom up. And, you know, I can't get tied to issues where people actually know what my positions are. But but at some level, I've got to get out there and let people know what my positions are. Now, you know, unfortunately, on our side, we're nowhere near as well-funded as the folks we're going to be running against. I recognize that. I recognize that, you know, in many of our races that we're going to have a ton. I mean, just like you've seen with, you know, gubernatorial races and stuff like that, you just see a ton of this money come, you know, flowing in, saying all kinds of things. I mean, we ran up against that 2 years ago where, you know, folks from the outside just come and make up stories about Democrats, and unfortunately they end up sticking because they've got so much money and so much structure, they're all saying the same thing. And so whether it's Jeff DeBeer running out in the West or Robert Reeves running in the East, coincidentally, they've all got the same flyer coming out against them saying, hey, he hates unicorns and babies. So, you know, I mean, that's just kind of where we are. But with that being said, we've got to take it upon ourselves to do the same thing that's won elections for hundreds of years in this country, and that's get out there and see our people.
So I'm going to offer a little theory and a question here. Please just have at it, poke away at it, flip it upside down if you want. But the next question is Trump, and he remains this looming figure in American politics. He remains, in the eyes of many conservatives, both, I think, respected, respectable, and also conspiratorial conservatives. He's the driving force of the Republican Party right now, and you have to deal with him on the campaign trail in 2022. And I'm wondering how you think you can do it to your advantage. I imagine some of it is geographic, right? Like in some Wake County, Mecklenburg County areas, if a candidate is running closely to Trump, that's, you know, clearly something you all can hammer. But if it's a Republican who's doing it in a more exurban rural area where you all think it's a competitive competition, I would imagine you're going to back off a little bit because there might be more Trump voters in that area. So how do you navigate Trump in 2022 to your benefit?
Well, you navigate him by not trying to make him an issue. I think one of the biggest mistakes, at least that I felt like I saw with the Virginia races, is that they were still running against Trump. And it's not about that. I think what you've got to do at some level, at some point, and it's going to be hard because it's hard to cut through all the noise. But at some level, you've got to let people know, I'm not running against anybody. I'm running to make your life better. I'm running to do things that make things better for you. And I mean, because the truth of the matter is this, whether you like Donald Trump, dislike Donald Trump is the single most motivating force we have seen in politics. There's nobody that compares to him, period. There's never been a president that I have seen that 2 years after getting out of office goes to different states and tells those states who's going to run for what office in their states at all levels. There's never been anybody who can, you know, get people to come out to the polls like he has.
But to that point, to that point, don't you have to run against him? Don't you have to make him, at least in some campaigns, a mobilizing figure or factor?
I just don't think so. I mean, I understand where you're coming from on that, but here's my point, is that when you run against a person, then it becomes a referendum on the person. When you run against particular ideas that are represented by that person, I think that becomes an easier discussion. When you start asking people what is it they want out of their government, then that becomes a little easier. Because what I think happens too many times is, again, it becomes a referendum about, okay, if I'm running against, John Smith, and I say, well, you've either got to pick John Smith or me. Well, maybe I don't like either one of you, but I like John Smith better. Yeah, John Smith's unlikable, but John Smith's more likable than you. And I think that's what you run into. But I think what a better question is what do you want to see your government look like? Because it really isn't about Trump. Trump could go away tomorrow, but the ideals that you either love or dislike about Donald Trump are going to still be here from what we're seeing from American politics. He seems to embody a belief system that is here. And so the real question isn't whether or not you like Donald Trump. The real question is, here are some issues that come up in this belief system. How do you think this is going forward? Because he won't be the one carrying the water. It's kind of like when you look at any great organization. Bill Gates is amazing. But Microsoft is going to survive Bill Gates. When Bill Gates steps down, when Bill Gates passes away, Microsoft will still be a behemoth. Apple clearly survived Steve Jobs. And so the point is, your question is, do you agree with the principles and policies? And that's what you really got to center your campaigns on. But when you start centering your campaign going after a particular person, then it becomes, unfortunately, what some of our politics have become. And it's kind of a reality contest and a reality show.
If you would, give to me, share for the listeners, the three ideas, the three things that are going to be most central to your 2022 midterm election efforts. You can be relatively brief on these, but what are we talking about here? What are the three, not people, but if there are issues or central tenets to 2022?
I mean, the central tenets that I think you're going to really run into for 2022, in my opinion, are going to be, number one, making sure that people can make their next generation, their children and their grandchildren, have better lives than what they've got right now. That's going to have to get done through great economic development, great educational development, and taking care of them on the healthcare front. I don't think there's any way around that, because I think that ultimately all of us, whether we have children, don't have children, whatever it is, at some point you get to a point, you get to an age where your question is, what's the world that I'm leaving to these folk, and how do I get there? And my thing is, we've got to start taking care of people who work every single day in this country and can't seem to get ahead. And when I say get ahead, I'm not saying get ahead in the sense of, being multimillionaires, or I'm not saying get ahead in the sense of, they're working poor. I'm just saying that your government should be making your lives better. Your government shouldn't be about making you angry, making you hateful, making you despise your neighbor. Your government should be about trying to figure out how to get us all to work together in a synergistic way that allows us to be better people, to have a better environment, have a better country.
Robert Reeves represents Chatham and parts of Durham County in the North Carolina House. He's also the House Democratic leader. Thanks for listening to the Politics Podcast. Jeff Tiberi will be back next week. I'm Dave DeWitt.